and share. Let's give Ronke a big round of applause, please. Use this one, Paul.
Hello. Okay. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. To the ladies, especially. yes, for those that don't know me, I'm Ronke Akerele, and I was told to just share a bit about the ministry I'm involved in. And ministry is called Heritage Outreach. That's it. And the name came up from Psalm 127 that says, children are heritage of the Lord, blessed is he which quiver is full of them. And so just a bit of background into the charity, and then we'll just play a video to just bring the charity to life for you all. So the charity started from a personal experience, a lived experience. We've been married, I've got my husband there, Femi, and we've been married for 22 years. And but it was married for 22 years, but the first 10 years wasn't an easy journey. The first 10 years was what the medical world would call years of infertility. And we thought we would never have our own children. And today, we are blessed with 2 biological children and 15 adopted children. And so it was a personal experience because for the first 10 years, we tried, we did what everybody did, but it never happened. And I think at year 4, I just thought I'll never have one. And Sunday school teacher, I felt my family background, my family is from Nigeria. And I go to Nigeria a lot on holiday. And I then see children on the streets. I see children on the roads. I see children not being catered for. And I thought, Father Lord, how about if I never have mine? I could still be a blessing to these children. And so came back in 2004, came back really passionate and in her heart to save these children on the streets. And what I then did with another Sunday school teacher in the church we used to go, we've been 11 years in this church now actually, but the church we used to go before, another lady, we then said, you know what? People should give us their used clothes, used belongings, and every children's day I would fly to Nigeria and just go and give it to the orphanages in Nigeria. So we used to collect used items, clothes that people would have just given to charities, from friends and family, then we'll use our money to then ship it down. And it was on one of those journeys, whilst waiting on the Lord, that God just ministered to me that, you know what, I've blessed you so much. That, and some of those orphanages were not places that were being looking after children. And I then told God that, you know what, if you bless me with my child, I'll build an orphanage for you. And you know how God is a God of trade and barter. I remember September 20, 2009, it was at a very difficult journey for us. It was a difficult journey during our infertility journey. And I was really, really upset with God. And I kept telling God that I've been married for 9 years and you still haven't blessed me with a child. And I've been married for 9 years and you still haven't blessed me with a child. And I was really, really upset. And I told God that, Father Lord, just bless me with these children and indeed I'll build this orphanage. And for about a week, despite disappointment, despite medical checks, we spent a lot of money. And nothing was coming true. And at that month, it was another month of disappointment. And God said, why don't you just start this and I'll do great and mighty things for you. But of course, I thought, oh no, I'm not starting anything on you until you do it for me. Come October 2007, I then said, you know what, I'm going to put a particular percentage of my money aside, of my income aside, and just see what this will do in terms of building an orphanage. December of that year, my dad is an engineer by profession, so I told him, oh, Dad, I want to build an orphanage, and all that. He said, oh, do you have an idea of how much this will cost? Anyway, we went around, looked for a piece of land. We went around, he got surveyors around, and they did all the costings. And I was like, hell no, this is going to, based on the percentage I've put together, it will take 10 years for it to complete. And my dad told me that, you know what? If God indeed has told you, it doesn't matter if it takes 20 years, it takes 25 years, the goal is for you to do it. And I said, okay, we'll start. And then I started saving, and as God will have it, January 2009, I was pregnant for Ilerioluwa, my son. And this was just taking that leap of faith to just say, you know what, that percentage. And I think my pregnancy for Ilerioluwa made me realize that. I mean, Ilerioluwa, for those that are not from my part of the world, it means that promised child, covenant-keeping God. That's what it means, that God keeps promise. And so that was January 2009. I then saved, and October, Ileri came into being. But you know what? I think that pregnancy and me seeing Ileri, and I know that God did it, the passion and the dream just kept, was just so much. And continued saving. My husband wanted to put into it. My parents wanted to put into it. And I said, no, I don't want, God told me it has to be your funds. That God did not tell me to raise all the children. He just wants me to build the structure. And if he's going to take, my husband was like, no, I can put this, I'll help you to do it. I said, no. Even my father was really upset with me. I said, Daddy, no. This is my ministry and this is what God has called me to do. And I continued. And within 4 years, Heritage of Outreach was built. I thought the figures from the BOQ and everything was meant to be 10 years. And it happened in 4 years. Not because things got cheaper. Of course, building materials will always get expensive. And in the part of the world I built it in Nigeria, things do get expensive. But how come it took 4 years? It took 4 years because the percentage didn't change. But God promoted me. God gave me the finances. My increase in my finances was out of this world. But the percentage remained the same. And it's speeding that process. And so this just gives you an idea of the journey so far. So the building was commissioned. 2010 was when we laid the ground for the building. In 2014, we completed. And we opened it up. And then we had to go through all the logistics, all the bureaucracy, and going through ministries. And people wanted me to go the back route and all that. I said, no, it doesn't matter. I really want, because there are a lot of people in need. And for me, there was the Boko Haram insurgency then, and there were a lot of Christian charity in the north. I'm from the south. And we said, these people, we traveled to the north, and we saw children in need. We saw children that the Islamist, the insurgency had seen them witness the death of their parents, the death of their grandfather. They had walked through the bushes for months. And so we brought those children back, and in 2016, we had our first set of 6 children that were from the Boko Haram insurgency. 2017, we then had another set of children, and those were the next set of 5. And 2018, we got a bus for the home. 2019, it was a bungalow. I built a bungalow, and I went to a boarding school, so my imagination was like, oh, it's going to be like my boarding school, and it was a bungalow. But as God will have it, people here, when I got back and were amazed about what God was doing in the orphanage and our children were being transformed in that children's home, we then, on a yearly basis, we do a fundraising activity just to build a project, not for the operations. I knew God has then raised people from the north, from the south. Some members of this church support and raise a child to school. Some members of this church donate for a child to go to school. That's them in the school uniforms there. And for us, we just said on a yearly basis, as part of the Virgin 10K, we do a project whereby whoever does a 10K run with us will then do a project. So the bus was from the funds from the Virgin 10K. We are now extending it to be an upstairs, a duplex. The duplex has now been completed. That was raised from the 10K. And the duplex will enable us to bring in more children into the home. I'll play the video, then I'll come back and just give end my part of the session. Thank you. So those are our children. We've got 15 children at Heritage Outreach. And for me, Aleri and Solomon were the oldest. That they said they were 5 and 6. We did that particular video a while ago. Aleri and Solomon are now 12. They are now 12. They were our first set of children. And for those that know Nigeria, these children were admitted into the best schools. Aleri goes to Federal Government College, Shagamu. She's in Form 1. And Solomon now is in Federal Government College, Ododolu. They are both in Form 1. And this, for me, is transformative. These were children that were in the bushes. These were children. And for me, when I go to see them, going again in June, it just makes me realize that God indeed is a good God. And indeed, through us, his ministry, I mean, John 2:1 says that, if you visit my orphans and my widows, that is the true religion. God says that in Psalm 58 as well, God says that, you know what, if you do anything for these people in need, so have you done it for me as well. And for me, that is my ministry. That is what I know I've been called for. And people then ask me at work, Ronke, how did you do it? What are you doing at work? How come you got... So in my day job, they call me Dr. Ronke Akerele in my day job. I'm England's Director of Culture Transformation for the NHS. And how God made me the first black person to be on the leader in the NHS across, how God made Matt Hancock to appoint me and I was headhunted into that role is far beyond my imagination. I've got no clue how I got to where I am. But I know that it is the doing of the Lord and it is marvelous in my eyes. And I just want to encourage people. The first 10 years of my life, Mother's Day wasn't something I looked forward to. The first 10 years of our marriage, Mother's Day is just, a reminder that when am I going to have my children? And for anybody that is waiting, for anybody that has a delay in their life, just continue to trust God, and God will wipe away your tears. God will turn your battles to breakthroughs, your mourning to dancing. I don't know why I'm emotional, but you know, there's some journeys in life that even though I've got two biological children, Imisi Oluwa, my daughter, the meaning in our language is the breath of God. That he just breathed miraculously into my womb, that the clinicians were wondering how, what happened. That's what a name means. And if God can do it, he can do it for you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ronke. Did you enjoy that? And it's great to know what's happening in the background. Ronke, in terms of support, how does it work if people wanted to support, contribute? Lovely. Thank you. Amen. Now let's give Jill a big round of applause. She comes and shares the word of God with us.
Thank you. Today I want to talk about the Oscars, actually. They happen to be happening tonight, but it's the supporting cast that I want to focus on. And actually what Ronke has just shared today, she's a supporting cast, because you know, the Oscars actually wouldn't happen if it weren't for the people in the background, the supporting cast. So, Ronke, brilliant work. Keep going. Yeah. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we can come together here as your church. And Lord, we just commit this day to you. Lord, for our moms today, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you just bless them. Lord, just bless them abundantly today. But Lord, as we've already heard, Lord, there'll be those people today that are hurting. Lord, those that have not been able to have children. Lord, those that have lost their mums and today is painful. Lord, we pray, just bless them. Lord, we pray for Joy and for Amanda today. And Lord, just be with them today. Lord, give them an extra special day, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray. Lord, we continue to pray for healing of this cancer in their lives. Lord Jesus, touch them right now. And Lord, deliver them in the name of Jesus from this cancer. Lord, just bless them today, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, just as we just come around this little thought, Lord, we pray, just speak into someone's life in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't forget how nervous it is up here. I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of ragers from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she saved Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he could cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you tore your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpha, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. We're going to come back to that reading a bit later. But me and Glenn, we do a little reading on a morning and pray together. And one of the readings was this little clip on the Oscars. I thought, I went to Glenn, "Oh, that's a great sermon. That would really make a great sermon." He went, "Well, can you do it on Mother's Day then?" And that's why I'm here. But tonight happens to be the Oscars over there in Hollywood. And I just want to give you a bit of background regarding this. The original name is the Academy Awards. The Academy Awards, popular known as the Oscars, bit small, you might not see this, but Glenn happened to bring this from America for me, and it's the Oscar to the world's greatest wife. But that's what the Oscars are. They're awards for artistic and technical merit in the film and industry. They're regarded by many as the most prestigious and significant awards in the entertainment industry worldwide. Given annually by the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences, the awards are an international recognition of excellence in cinematic achievements as assessed by the Academy's voting membership. The various category winners are awarded a golden statue, a bit bigger than these, and not as plasticky. And they're called the Academy Award of Merit, although more commonly referred to its nickname, the Oscar. The statuette depicts a knight rendered in the Art Deco style. The award was originally sculptured by George Stanley from a design sketch by Cedric Gibbons. And the Academy first presented it in 1929 at a private dinner hosted by Douglas Fairbanks in the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, in what would become known as the first Academy Awards. The Academy Awards ceremony was first broadcast by radio in 1930 and was televised for the first time in 1953. It's the oldest worldwide entertainment award ceremony and is now televised live worldwide. It is also the oldest of the four major annual American entertainment awards. Its equivalents are the Emmy Awards for television, the Tony Awards for theatre, and the Grammy Awards for music. They're all modelled after the Academy Awards. A total of 3,140 Oscar statuettes have been awarded since its inception in 1929. And they're widely cited as the most prestigious and renowned competitive awards in the field of entertainment. And so if you happen to watch the Oscars, I don't personally, I know days afterwards we see all the ladies all in their nice dresses and everything wanting to outdo each other. You'll see, and they're all there hoping to get their Oscar, sitting there waiting for their name to be called out, and the Oscar goes to. But actually, none of these films would happen if it wasn't for the supporting cast, those that worked tirelessly behind the scenes on the technical side, on the artistic side, and whatever other sides go on behind the scenes. The Bible, a lot of the stories there, you can see in there that a lot of the Bible stories wouldn't actually happen if it wasn't for the supporting cast. And here in 2 Kings 5, we see one such person, the young Jewish girl. The troops of Syria's King Ben-Hadad kept making raids into Israel to capture prisoners. One day they happened to capture this little young girl, probably no more than 15 years of age. Little's known about her. We don't even know what her name is. She has no name. The girl became the maid to the wife of Naaman, who was the high-ranking officer in the king's army. And you know, this girl had her own problems. She'd been captured. She'd been taken away from home, from her family, and probably would never see them again. The girl had lost everything. Just imagine your family becoming wiped out and you're not seeing them again. She had every reason, because of this, to become bitter. But actually, because of her faith, she didn't allow that. She didn't allow the bitterness to take hold of her. She wasn't obliged to tell Naaman anything, actually, because of what had gone on. She could have actually said, "I'm keeping quiet. They don't deserve it. I've been captured." But actually, she was more concerned about her own well-being than about her master than herself. And I think this maid servant knew what a privilege it was to serve in this family. And you know, church, sometimes things happen in life and it's really easy to become bitter. I've been there. I've been through situations where I've wanted revenge. I wanted God to sort it out and everything. And actually we can become bitter instead of becoming better. But because of our faith, we can turn the situation around, no matter how painful it is. Everything was about to change for Naaman and his household when he realized that he had leprosy, the most dreadful of diseases. Once a person in Bible days had leprosy, they actually became an outcast and they had to go outside the city wall and often shout, "Unclean, unclean," when people came by. And for Naaman, it wouldn't be any different. Just because he was a high-ranking officer, wouldn't make no difference. He wouldn't be able to stay where he was serving the king. He'd be treated just like any other leper. To the king, to his family, and to the maid girl, he would soon no longer exist. Leprosy could take years and years. Once you got it, you've got it. It could take years before you died. So Naaman actually would already be dead to them, because once you've got it, you're an outcast. Naaman and his wife tried probably to keep it a secret, But actually, once your skin, your body starts showing signs, you can't really keep it a secret. The secret had become known even to the maid girl. A girl that we see is full of faith and believed in God. It was probably her background, her family, her parents, where she saw Jesus. And that's how she came to know him and knew about Elisha. And in verse 3, we read, she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Just a few words. That's all she said. But those few words, what a difference they were going to make. Could they dare to believe that instead of certain death, there could be a possibility of life? A mistress must have respected her as well, because even though she was only a young girl, her mistress took her words seriously, which resulted in Naaman going to the king and telling the king what the girl had said, that he needed to go see this prophet. The king agreed, and after all, what did he have to lose? He sent Naaman on his way, taking with him many gifts and a letter addressed to the king. But in verse 7 we read, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent in this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to his with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, go wash yourself 7 times in the river and your flesh will be restored." And then we see that Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpha, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" And then he went off in his rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Do any of you remember the song? I don't think they'll know it now, probably. Used to sing a song in Sunday school about Naaman the leper? No? I can't remember the tune, actually, but the words go, "There was a man I know, a leper white as snow. He went to the river to dip himself, and his name was Naaman. And he took one dip, and he dippy dip dip. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and he came up clean, clean, clean." I remember singing it as a young child, but I can't remember the tune. But you know, for Naaman, by obeying this commandment and dipping himself in that river, returned totally, totally healed. New skin. What's the saying, girls? You've got skin as soft as a baby's bottom, maybe. I don't know. But he had new skin, very soft. For Naaman, the healing went deeper than his body, because actually, spiritually, he was healed as well, because he came to believe. But for the supporting cast, and that's what I want to just emphasize today, of that maid girl, Naaman would probably never have received his healing. Nothing more is said of the young girl, but I believe despite being captured, having every good reason to hate her captors, she demonstrated noble character by working hard in a privileged situation. Her deeds, her hard work in the background, had prepared an opening for her words. I believe working in that background was the only reason why she was able to speak out and tell them about the prophet in Samaria. She was well respected. There's a saying that goes, you've probably heard of it, "Your actions speak so loudly that I cannot hear what you were saying. You know, and as Christians, we need to take that on board, that our actions, people can see that we follow Christ, not because of what we're saying, but actually because of what we do. She didn't even have a name, but what is said about her is actually more important than her not having that name. You know, she didn't think of herself so insignificant that she kept quiet. She spoke up. She didn't even think she was too young, probably only 15, maybe younger. She didn't think she had nothing to say because she was young. She spoke up. Or that her position as a servant girl was too low to be heard. Instead, she saw a person in need, and she believed that the God of Israel, the God that she served, could meet that need. That's all that she said. A few simple words, but those words would change the life of Naaman and his family. He would no longer be an outcast. He could carry on working for the king, and as a family, they could still be together. A few simple words brought glory to God. Because of her faith, Naaman's life was changed. And that insignificant little maid servant was actually not insignificant anymore. I believe if she was around today, that's the kind of person who would receive an Oscar. Someone in the background that is just confidently getting on with it, behind the scenes. And you know, there's lots of people in God's kingdom who are supporting Cass. I know there is. Those people that are just getting on with it, behind the scenes. Ronke, just getting on with it. She's not looking for any accolade or Oscar or anything. She's serving because that's what God has told her to do. And she's quietly getting on with it in the background. You know, today is Mother's Day. I want to say a big thank you, Moms, for being the supporting cast. That's what you are. You're the supporting cast. You work hard behind the scenes to run your family, to run your homes, and to bring your children up in godly ways. Maybe at times unappreciated, but actually God sees. Carry on. You're doing a great job, Moms. Carry on. Ladies, in your work situation, maybe some of you have been overlooked for promotion or treated unfairly, but continue to be that supporting cast. And just like the maid, may your deeds, your hard work, prepare an opening for you to share your words. And to you ladies that faithfully work behind the scenes here in Romford Ealing, I want to say a big thank you. Sorry that we don't often acknowledge it, but do you know, ladies, the church actually won't function without you ladies. You do so much. Thank you for doing the things that you do in the background, for being that supporting cast. When someone's ill, for those of you that take meals round, pick up the phone to just say hello and encourage someone. Someone that might drop someone to appointment that can't get there. Thank you. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown for his name as you have ministered to the saints and continue to do so." And you know, there might be some ladies sat there that's thinking, well, actually, I'm not a supporting cast. I don't really do anything. Ladies, it's not too late. Why not come? Well, become one of those supporting casts. I want to tell you today, you're not insignificant. Don't matter what your background is, what age you are, where you've come from, you're not insignificant. And God sees you. We've actually got names and God knows our names. We're not insignificant today. And he knows your heart. Ladies, stay faithful, especially when hard days come. You heard it for Ronke. Hard days do come and they will come. When days when you might feel like giving in, hold on, stay strong. But you know, it might just be Mother's Day today, but actually, church, it's for us all. We can all be the supporting cast. Your church needs you. Your family needs you. You know, I think the past year or two has actually been, coming out of COVID has actually been harder than going into COVID. Coming out is people still not around and we're still short on things. But your church needs you. And we need a lot of supporting cast. We still need kids' church teachers, PA helpers, putting out chairs, stewards, etc., etc. Church, we've got to make sure that we just don't become sitting on our chairs just on a Sunday. We need to get involved. We need to become that supporting cast. Those that see the need and get on and do it. Don't look to someone else to fill that space. After all, it might be you that needs to step up and do it. The maid girl could have kept silent. We too can keep silent. We can just come along on a Sunday. But actually, if we love Romford Elim Church, that's actually not an option. We need to get involved. We need to be that supporting cast. You know, one day Jesus is going to have his own Oscar ceremony. And the only thing that's done for Jesus down here is that's the only things that are going to last, really. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go do other things. I'm not saying that. But make sure you give your time and do what Jesus is calling you to do. Let's not waste that time on things that actually don't really matter. But let's step up and function. You know, one day I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But until then, the Oscar goes to all you supporting cast that work so hard in the background. Keep going, keep serving, keep giving. We love you, we appreciate you, but let's add more people to that cast. God sees your faithfulness, and I just want to say thank you, church. Thank you. I'm just going to ask Rachel and Godfrey.
Amen. Well, thanks, Mum. I'm very proud. You did great this morning. Didn't you do good? Yeah. Amen. She's just asked me to share this song. It's been a few years since I've sung it, but for those that don't know it, this is the song that I wrote called A Child's Prayer. I wrote it for my mum, but I want to dedicate it to all the mothers in the house. Amen.
She'll pick you up. She wipes the tears, removes those fears. Everything will be okay, she says to me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've helped her be. The kind of woman one day I would want to see in me. Like a rose, she's beautiful to me. please protect my mother like she's always done for me. Keep her strong, humble and wise. Fill her with your spirit, Lord, that only you provide. Like the sun, she's always warm to me. Keep her burning bright for you and all eternity. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, for what you've helped to be. Kind of woman one day I would want to see in me. Like a rose, she's beautiful to me. Please protect my mother like she's always done for me. Keep her strong, humble and wise. Fill her with your spirit, Lord, that only you provide. Like the sun, she's always warm to me. Keep her burning bright for you and all eternity.
Amen. It's been a lovely time this morning. Amen. Really has. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Just before I pray, if there's anybody here who wants Jesus, then before I pray, just give me a wave so I can include that in this prayer. Okay? Saying, yes, Jesus, I want you. I want this relationship that I'm hearing about, seeing, demonstrated. If that's you, just give me a wave. I don't want to not give the opportunity because I know it helped me in becoming a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we've heard today, what we've heard from your word, what we've heard in terms of practical action, life-changing action through ministry. And gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks and praise. We want to give you thanks and praise as we say thank you to our mothers. And we pray for more mothers in Israel, as it were, Lord God. Whether it be blood or whether it be overseeing others and giving input into others who may not be of blood but are part of the family of God. Father, we give you thanks for each and every one. And we pray as we go about our business today, as we enjoy family time, as we enjoy meals, and as we enjoy just celebrating together. Dear God, we are so grateful because it's you who's at the heart of all of this. You've made all of this possible. And so accept our praise this morning. Send us out with your blessing, Lord. And may we in turn be a blessing to others as we've heard today. And Lord, we do thank you indeed for each and every ministry, however big, however upfront. But Lord, today in particular, for those behind the scenes, who without them, the front stuff wouldn't happen. We say thank you, Lord God. And we pray for more in Jesus' name. Dismiss us with your blessing, therefore, today. And we will give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, do enjoy yourselves today. Don't forget the practice tonight, but there's refreshments. If you want refreshments before you go, then please let us enjoy it together. God bless you.